Let us pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the reminder that when we have you in our lives, it is well with our soul. Father, thank you for the hope and the promise that we have in Jesus. Thank you for the life that you have given us, a life that is a new creation, forgiven, redeemed, and whole again. And we thank you that we can celebrate all that you are and all that you've done with us this morning. Lord, now be with your word and touch a heart, touch a life today. Transform a heart into newness through your spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. It's time for the children to go to Kids Connection now, and I just want to wave and say hello to those of you online and for those of you that are here this morning. Nice to have you. Are you happy to be here?
Yes.
Can we just say that? Amen. Yeah, happy to be here. Yeah, like May is tomorrow.
Great.
Yeah. May is tomorrow. Wow. It looks like we're going to have May showers for June flowers this year. That's what it kind of looks like to me, all right? But we'll take it. We'll take it. All right, we're in part three of a series that we are calling Why Should I Care About? And part one, we looked at creation. We're talking about the things that we should care about that God cares about. And we talked about creation the first time through. Last week, does anybody know what we talked about?
Justice.
Yeah, we talked about justice. And today, you know, we're okay. If you're a believer here this morning or and you've heard us talk about creation, you've heard us talk about justice, everybody's in agreement. If you're a believer, yeah, creation is really important for us to care about. Justice is really important for us to care about. But today's topic is a little bit trickier because today's topic is on suffering. And if we're going to be brutally honest, we want to avoid suffering at all costs, don't we? It's not something that we want to encourage and not something that we want to look forward to. In fact, entire culture, especially in North America, does everything it can to kind of put suffering in the back and in the background of everything that is going on. As well and good as that is, the Bible has a lot to say about suffering. And in fact, the Bible has a lot to communicate, especially during times of suffering. And in fact, I'm even going to go a bit further. I think in North America, we have a really defective theology on suffering. And because we have such a defective theology on suffering, is that when suffering does come, which it's not if, it's always when, that when it does come, we almost don't know what to do with it because it's something that we've avoided or put in the background or you know, tried to just say, I'm not going to worry about it till it actually becomes something that I have to deal with. So as a believer here this morning, I want to kind of start the whole thing by giving you a little important statement that I think will put into perspective how we begin this discussion and why it's so important. Here's the thing I want to just put out front right away. Understanding suffering from a Christian perspective is understanding the difference between kept from versus present through. Okay? Now, here's what I mean by this. If you believe that just because you become a believer, that God's going to keep you from anything that's bad or any suffering or anything that is going to be hurtful or painful or traumatic in your life, that's just bad theology. I'm not saying that God isn't going to keep things from you. There's going to be times that God's going to bless you. There's going to be times that God's going to protect you. Absolutely. But predominantly, the biblical picture is that God is going to be present through the difficulties, through the suffering. He's going to carry you through those very difficult times. And that's a perspective right out of the gate that we have to kind of, you know, accept and align ourselves with. And when it comes to, you know, the way that the Bible often portrays those moments of difficulties and sufferings in our life is that God is present in the difficulties. That he is there. Okay? So that is a really important distinction to make. But, you know, I've run into so many people who you know, run into difficulties, and right away they're questioning God. They're questioning the goodness of God. And it's like the expectation is God should have kept me from this particular difficulty. So I'm going to go through a number of passages and sort of talk a little bit and then kind of bring it home for all of you if I can. Matthew 5:4 is a passage that comes out of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave in Matthew. And he did a number of beatitudes where he says, God blesses and God blesses and a whole list of them. And one of them is God blesses those who mourn. Now, I don't know about you, but that statement is counterintuitive, isn't it? That God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This idea of being comforted in the midst of very difficult situations and very difficult circumstances is something that, as I've said, is not what we hear in the common theological circles where we find ourselves in difficulty. In fact, the word comfort in the Greek here means to urge, to encourage, to lift up, to carry the weight, to hold the burden. In very, you know, succinct ways, this word comfort is very apropos. Whatever you need in the moment, whatever you need to be reassured of in the moment, God will bless you with that comfort that you need. And it's going to be different for everybody, but this is a general statement that whatever you're enduring, God will comfort in the midst of that difficulty. Here's 2 Corinthians 1:3-7. Many times doing memorial services, this is a really common passage that we would read. All praise to God. This is the Apostle Paul, okay, who's writing to the church at Corinth. And he says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Notice that the comfort that we get from God becomes a transference to other people, that we have this ability to empathize with the difficulties of other people in the world, and we are able to come alongside them and comfort them just as God has comforted us. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, wow, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. Now, what an amazing passage. That the difficulties we experience in this life are not just difficulties because of the way that the world has fallen, and we live in a fallen world. We live in a place where everything is broken, and there's the brokenness all around us. But as we experience the painful, you know, experiences of life, we are able to come along somebody else and comfort them at moments when they need it the most. You know, I think I've told this story before, but I remember early on being in ministry, being in a hospital room, and this family that I had gone to visit had gone through this just traumatic experience. It was just absolutely horrible. And of course, I'm the guy. I'm the guy in the room that's supposed to have the words. I'm supposed to be able to communicate, you know, words of comfort and words of soothing. And I had never experienced even remotely what this family was going through. And I remember another family coming in who had gone through the exact same thing. And suddenly, the room just took on a whole different, tone. This family was able to say the things that this other family needed to hear. They were able to come alongside and comfort in a way that I just, you know, wasn't able experientially to connect with. And it was just amazing to watch these two families kind of join together in one common cry, because they knew that they weren't alone, that there was somebody else in the room that knew exactly what they were going through. And they were able to relate stories and talk about the deep hurt and the deep pain. And I remember them walking out of that room, the family that had just experienced the trauma, you know, not that it made everything better or all right, but they knew they weren't alone, and they knew that they always had somebody now that they could reach out to that knew exactly what they had gone through. And there was times where they'd get on the phone, and they'd just say, "I'm just having a bad day." And the other family would say, "I know what you mean." And they knew they were being heard, and they knew they weren't alone. It was just beautiful. You know, the other thing the Apostle Paul does as he reminds us of this ability for us who have had these experiences to come alongside somebody else, he also helps us to kind of change our perspective. There's a couple other passages that I want to read where Paul says, you know, you're suffering in the moment, but here's a perspective I want you to kind of embrace as you're going through those difficulties. Romans 8:18 to 21 says, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay." Paul's reminding us that this is temporal, this is temporary, as difficult and as hurtful as it is. The pain will not always be there in the sense that there's a future eternal hope where everything is made brand new. Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 4:17, here's another passage. He says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long." Now, I got to tell you, there are times in my life where I've read that passage and I went, ouch, what I am going through right now really hurts. But there's something to being reminded that this is present, and with the hope of Jesus Christ, there's something better ahead. "Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." Isn't that this, you know, eschatological hope that we have? It's almost as if he's saying, you know, whenever you suffer, remember to orient yourself to this future hope that we have in Jesus Christ. As difficult as it is, I don't know how many times as a pastor I've had people come up to me and say, you know, I've had this for years, and it's difficulty, and I don't know why God won't take it away. I've prayed time and time again for God to take it away. It's difficult, it's hard, and yet, What do you say in those situations? Trust God with it. God will redeem it. God will probably use you to speak into somebody else's life that you would not be able to do otherwise. But remember, this present will one day fade away to a future hope and a future glory. You know, often we talk about that when we enter heaven, we're going to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You know what I think comes next? Okay? The pain is gone. No more crying. No more of the things of this world that have so hurt us. I think that's sort of like the next revelation that comes. So, why should I care about suffering? I'm going to give you a number of points. I'm going really fast here, okay? I'm going to give you a number of points. Why should we care about suffering? Number one, God uses trials to grow us. God doesn't cause them, but God uses them to grow us. Imagine if our lives were perfect. Like, can we just imagine that? For as much as we would like our lives to be perfect, get every wish we ever wanted, every dream we ever wanted, everything like that, how easily would it be to ignore God? How easily would it be to say, this is all my doing and life is perfect? Unfortunately, trials are one of those things that God uses to remind us of our dependency on Him and that He is growing us in ways that trials, unfortunately, do for us that nothing else can. That's like kind of like a brutal truth. I don't like that truth, but the reality is that some of the things that we've gone through are the very things that have grown us into who we are today. Number two, suffering when misunderstood creates disillusionment with God. Unfortunately, when we come from a culture that says, you know, we should fix everyone, you know, not have any kind of difficulties or anything like that. Everyone gets a trophy, all of that kind of stuff. Okay, it creates disillusionment with God because we start thinking, why is God doing this? Okay? But suffering is a reality of the fallen world that we live in. You know, the two basic reasons that there's suffering in the world is we live in a broken world, and sometimes our own bad decisions contribute to things. That's the hard part too, isn't it? Sometimes our bad decisions contribute to some of the things that are going on that are not very good in our lives. And God has a way of working through those, and God has a way of correcting us with those. Okay, number three is we grow in empathy, compassion, and mercy. Okay, now this is where the word comfort comes in and where the Apostle Paul was talking about comfort. Okay, and he's talking to 2 Corinthians. By the way, do you know what the five tools of comfort are for comforting another person? These are not in your notes. Okay, these are the five tools of how do I comfort another person and how do I do that? Number one is your presence, practical presence. When somebody can say, I went through a really difficult time and so-and-so was there for me, okay? Your presence made a difference in their lives. Now, I'm also of the opinion, if you live far away and your presence can be real in the fact that when they call you in the middle of the night, you're there for them. That's another way you can be present in the difficulties of a person, okay? Secondly, is practical help. Sometimes a prepared meal is more spiritual than a theological answer. We've all been there, okay? When we're really struggling with something and somebody comes and just fixes the front door that's been squeaking for the last 5 years and they said, I'll take care of that. Sometimes that practical help makes all the difference. And whatever weight you have, they've taken off your shoulders. Okay? Silence is number three, okay? And what I mean by silence is that you're listening more than talking. Sometimes, sometimes you just need to just sit and be quiet. Ever read the book of Job? Okay? Job's friends were far more helpful when they shut up. The minute they started talking, that's when it got ugly. Right? They needed to just shut up. Okay? But sometimes silence is what is needed, and just be with the person. Tears is number four. When you need to cry, you need to cry. Remember Jesus and the raising of Lazarus? I just think that's such a powerful story. That Jesus, you know, the Son of God, you know, second person of the Trinity, like all power residing in him. And he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead in this incredible miracle. And Jesus, before he does that, he stops to cry. I don't know if that isn't one of the most powerful pictures of the type of God we serve, that God would take a moment to cry with us. I think that's such a powerful thing, to empathize with another person, is you're crying with them. I feel your hurt. I feel your pain. I know what it's like. Okay? And the last thing is prayer. That's number five. Prayer is you evoking the power of heaven on their behalf. Those are the five tools, not in your notes, but those are the five tools of how you bring comfort to another person. All right? I'm not, you know, I'm a theologian. I'm, you know, and yet in moments like that, theological answers don't really help. Okay? And I've said this many times before, the Bible rarely answers the why questions of why things people suffer. The why is answered in Genesis 3 with the fall. 90% of the time when the Bible is dealing with suffering, it's dealing with the what now question. Here's what's happened. What now? Okay? Here's where we focus. This is what we do. Okay? But the why, you know, for any of you that have gone through difficulties, you know the why that's circling around in your mind is going to be never answered, if ever. That's the one question that's lurking that no one can come up and say, oh, it was definitely when you did this on the, you know, March the 31st and you did it at 8 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, like, we just can't do that. But God always has an answer to what to do now. Last thing, it focuses our hope. It focuses our hope. Okay? Now I have this quote that I'm going to throw up from Thomas Merton. If you know anything about Thomas Merton, I think it's a great quote. The more you try to avoid suffering, the more you suffer. Because smaller and insignificant things begin to torture you in proportion to your fear of being hurt. The one who does most to avoid suffering is in the end the one who suffers most. True? I don't think you're convinced. Remember Jesus got on the cross? And during his time on the cross, he asked the why question of our Heavenly Father. He said, why have you forsaken me? That is a direct quote, by the way, out of Psalm 22. And if you know anything about Psalm 22, it starts out with this questioning of God and why have you forsaken, and the struggles that the person is going through. By the time you get to the end of the psalm, it's a psalm about the victory of God in the person's life. Now, I don't know about you, but that psalm says a lot. And it's usually indicative of our lives. That there are times in our lives where we say, God, why are you doing this? Or God, why is it happening? Or God, why, you know, am I going through this experience in the way that I'm going through it? But like Jesus on the cross, quoting that psalm, he recognized that in the hands of our Heavenly Father, all suffering, all pain, all trials lead to victory in one way or another. We don't see it here now, but as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians and other passages, that there is a greater glory awaiting us in eternity when we submit ourselves to our Lord. Let's pray. Father, suffering is not an easy topic, and it's not something that we would ever ask or desire. We struggle with even talking about it in any kind of a positive way, especially when we know so many, even in this congregation, who have experienced terrible things in their lives. And yet there's something refining about it. There's something that you use to our value and our worth, that you transform into a future hope and a future glory that we need to be reminded of from time to time. Lord, you don't fix all the suffering, but you do use your people to alleviate it and to come along others who are experiencing the world and its fallenness and seeing the brokenness continue. So Lord, as we ponder this topic of suffering, may we see it for what it is and find value in how we understand it so that we can grow and see you for who you are. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.